It's time for Saddle Up America on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and this week our special guests are the past National Chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America, Mr. Jim McGarvey, Jamie Schmidt, and Deb Caffin, with the National Forest Service. And so we're going to have a great time today talking about the National Forest Service Trails Bill. So take a deep seat in the saddle, grab a big cup of coffee, and when we come back, we'll be talking with our special guest on this week's edition of Saddle Up America on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net.
Crunch of the snow and the bite of the air, the clang of the stockyard gate. Keep the truck running, the radio humming tonight, you don't want to be late. The smell of the wood smoke, the light from the windows, welcome you back home again. Kick the snow off your boots and shut the door tight, let the celebration begin. With a cowboy Christmas tonight. Watching headlights bump down the old gravel drive as family and friends arrive. Get out the guitars and everyone sings Jingle Bells and Oh Holy Night. The men all swap stories of past cowboy glories, the weather and the high price of hay. All the food brought tonight was cooked up just right, and we all hold hands as we pray. It's a cowboy Christmas tonight. Kids are all whispering secrets down round the Christmas tree. The grown-ups gather up coats to call it a night. Santa will be there soon, but there'll still be stock to feed. Christmas on the range starts early and goodbye to your friends, time to tuck the kids in, there's one last thing to be done. Get out the Bible, light a candle, read the story of God's own son. Long, long ago on a range much like this, there were shepherds and a star shining bright. The wise men brought gifts and the angels did sing, bringing honor to Jesus feels right. With a cowboy Christmas tonight.
Well, that's Mary Kay's The Cowboy Christmas Tonight, and Merry Christmas, Jim McGarvey.
Well, thank you, Gary. Glad to be here, getting close to the holidays.
It is almost upon us. It is almost upon us. So have you done your Christmas shopping for Cindy yet?
Well, I'm pretty bad about that. Always have been. I go the 23rd and buy the dumbest gifts, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes, you know, when they open the package. So.
All right, you've been warned. We're just a few weeks away now, so it's pretty close. But we've got a great show today, and you have some very special guests that are joining us. So why don't you go ahead and introduce those ladies to us?
I sure will. I've known both these folks from the Forest Service, the United States Forest Service, for a number of years. Especially Deb, we live fairly close together down here in the same state of Georgia. But I'd like to welcome Jamie Schmidt. She's the National Trail Program Manager for the U.S. Forest Service, and that's 168,000 miles of trails. And it may be the biggest trail system in the world that's actually organized and managed in the world. And Jamie's, that's her job. And so,
wow.
With a lot of help
wow.
from everybody else in the Forest Service. And then Deb Caffin, equestrian here in Georgia. But Atlanta is the regional office for the southern region of the Forest Service, which goes from Texas to Virginia up to Kentucky, so there's a lot of trails down here, and Deb handles that under her job as Region 8 Trail System Manager. And so really glad to have him on. And what we're trying to do with this show, Gary, is like part two of last month's with the Wilderness Society and Paul Spittler speaking about how the Trails Act that was signed 1 year ago last Tuesday by the president, how it came about. We talked about how Dennis Daly, a retired Forest Service ranger and public lands advocate for the backcountry horseman in his retirement, started in 2009 with this idea of taking some congressional people out to see the damage in the forest. And and I'll tell you why it might be that damage in the forest. And by working together with over 104 organizations over 7 years, we got a bill and signed, passed by Congress and signed by the president. And just to give an idea of the breadth and width of the support for that, we had the Western Governors Association, National Association of Counties, American Council of Snowmobiles, American Motorcycle Association, International Mountain Biking Association, Team Dirt, the Trout Unlimited, 100 organizations, hunting, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, National Turkey Federation. So we just had, besides all the trail people, so we had a great group of folks from disparate organizations that joined together because it's so important. And so I'm going to turn it over to Deb and Jamie in a minute here, but I do want to point out that why does the Forest Service need a law here? You know, what's going on? And what's happened is the Forest Service budget has been stagnant for decades now. Literally stagnant. But what's happened, not stagnant, is the fires, the wildfires that are going on. Just last night, we woke up this morning to the news that a 50-acre fire in Ventura County, California, is now 50,000 acres in just 5 or 6 hours, and it's crept into the Los Padres National Forest. And then there's a second fire just started yesterday that's creeped into called the Creed Fire that started. It's in the Angeles National Forest. So what's happened to the Forest Service, the budget has stayed level, if not shrinking, and from 85 to 89, the average cost of fighting fires was $371 million a year. For the last 5 years, it's been nearly $2 billion a year average.
And wow.
So, but the budget has stayed the same, so it's a fivefold increase. The budget stayed the same, and so we worked with the Forest Service. There's 14,000 members of Backcountry Horsemen, and we started 44 years ago because of the Forest Service. We helped build a bridge in the Bob Marshall Wilderness that got washed out in storms and winter melt. And so we've been tied closely to the Forest Service for going on to 5 decades and been a great relationship, met a bunch of great people in the Forest Service. And so Deb and Jamie, if you could, can you maybe give a background of what the Forest Service does, what's their goal, what's their purpose, or maybe how they've evolved through the years to achieve those goals? Just jump in.
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Good morning. We're great.
Good
morning, Gary and Jim. This is Jamie. Happy to jump in with that. So, you know, the Forest Service, the Forest Service's mission from the outset has been a multi-purpose, multi-use mission, and really with the whole genesis of the agency being to care for the land and to serve people through a variety of quality and multiple use land management concepts, you know, ranging from some of the extraction industries, timber, mining, cattle grazing, protecting water in our watersheds so that communities have healthy water, healthy air, and then all the way to the area that that Deb and I work in, the recreation side of things. We also have, you know, outreach branches of the organization into local communities. We've got, you know, a real robust research and development branch of the agency, et cetera. And, you know, in more recent years, I'd say in the last decade and a half or so, recreation and trail use has always been a focus and a value of the agency, but increasingly, now Deb and I are a little biased because our careers are in trails, but increasingly, trails and recreation really is a key way that, that the public, both citizens and visitors from outside the country, that they connect with our public lands and in particular with our national forests and grasslands. And so in recent years, the value of recreation to the American public and in terms of just providing that opportunity for people to connect with the public lands, to forge connections with themselves, with each other, with their communities, to recreate health, wellness, economic prosperity for local communities, all of that has become increasingly apparent in recent years.
And I'll just, Jim? Yeah, this is Debbie. Let me just jump in and say, certainly in the southern region, we see just an increasing interest in the trails programs in recreation and outdoor recreation. It's a big industry in the southeast. We get 24 million visits per year to our national forests, and it's really the highest number of visits per acre in the national forest system. So, and a lot of that is trails.
Yeah, really.
And I guess if Debbie's going to throw in some southern region numbers, I'll just go ahead and add some national context, if that sounds good. So Jim was kind and overly grew our trail system by a little bit. I think you said 168,000 miles of trail, but we're actually at 158,000 miles, which is fine. And we still are, you know, by far and away the largest managed system of trails in the country. And, you know, we estimate that over 84 million people recreate and play and enjoy national forests and grasslands every year. And, you know, of our, and actually we've got about 230 million people live, you know, within 100 miles of a national forest and grassland. And so of that, of that really vast trail network that we have of both motorized and non-motorized trails, that 158,000 miles of trail, about 32,000 of those are in wilderness, designated wilderness areas. About 10,000 of those miles are comprised of our congressionally designated National Scenic and National Historic Trails, like the Pacific Crest National Scenic Trail, the Continental Divide, the Florida National Scenic Trail. And then trails and recreation in general are a huge contributor in terms of an economic contribution that's coming off of our national forests and grasslands. About 143,000 jobs annually are supported by recreation and tourism spending, and then more than $9 billion, and that's $9 billion with a B, comes in annual visitor spending that's coming from recreation on national forests and grasslands.
Wow!
I think talk about. Well, go ahead, Gary. Yes.
No, I was just going to ask Jamie, what is the difference between the BLM and the National Forest Service as far as the type of lands that are considered national forest lands and BLM lands?
I think I'm going to let Debbie jump in.
Well, I mean, okay. The Bureau of Land Management, I mean, we've got sort of the four major federal land management agencies, the National Park Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Bureau of Land Management. And they are all in the Department of Interior. And BLM, as well as the Forest Service is actually under the Department of Agriculture. The BLM of the National Park Service and the Fish and Wildlife, you know, the interior agencies, it does also have sort of a multiple use management, but it is a little bit different. It is definitely different. Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service, is in the Department of Agriculture, so we're sort of brothers and sisters in the federal land management arena, and all of us offer great recreation opportunities. But by far and large, you know, our trail system is one of the largest.
Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jim. You were going to ask a question when I interrupted you.
I was going to say that, well, it's actually larger by order of magnitude. I think the National Park Service has 14,000 miles and BLM 18,000 miles of trails and 158,000 for the Forest Service. I think maybe you could talk a little bit about why it's in the Department of Agriculture. I know the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, was the governor of Georgia and a large animal vet, so he kind of gets it, I think. And maybe you could talk a little bit how the Forest Service started and what its goal was back then, or purpose back in the early teens and that, and how it's come through today. But how did it all get going?
Let me just jump in. You know, the agency has been around, you know, since 1905, and it has evolved. The Multiple Use Mandate Act that sort of took us into this, you know, recognizing the various values of national forest land, you know, has come a long way. That was in, I believe, the 70s that Multiple Use Mandate Act came along, and so recognizing that we do have a lot of values. You know, originally grazing and timber were sort of the roots of our agency and probably why we were under the Department of Agriculture. But then, as I said, the other uses and the other values, including recreation, sort of came along in the 70s as interest in outdoor recreation and certainly the water qualities and wildlife management and all of those things. Those are all goals under our agency. Even though we're in ag, I mean, we still sort of recognize all those other values.
You know, and right hand in hand, you know, with that timeline, just about from the get-go, you know, our agency has been a wildland firefighting agency. And over time, now I'm putting on my trail hat, over time, you know, a lot of our trails originally were either access trails to get to fire lookouts, to get pack strings into supply, you know, firefighting crews or our folks that were stationed at lookouts, et cetera. And a lot of our other trails, quite frankly, just kind of happened. A lot of them were game trails, and then they became people's favorite trails. They weren't necessarily in a sustainable trail location. Some of them are straight up, you know, mountainsides, which that turns into, you know, trails that are highly erosive and don't stay put. But over time, there has been, you know, increasing emphasis on well-located, well-designed, and well-cared-for trails, and that's over decades. And the Forest Service, we're really proud. We've long been a leader in trail management techniques and skills and providing the nation's trail system and in caring for the trails. And then the difference here recently has just been, Jim touched upon, with, you know, the impact of wildfire costs and a relatively, you know, flat budget, a reduction of non-fire-related field personnel to care for trails and all the other aspects of the agency that aren't related to fire. That's really been reduced by over 40% in recent years. And so with that shift, we've increasingly looked and reached out to wonderful partners like the Backcountry Horsemen of America and many, many others who have done just a tremendous job of jumping in and helping us care for trails.
Deb and Jamie, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your backgrounds and how you ended up going to work for the Forest Service, and what drew you to the Forest Service in the first place, and a little bit about your kind of personal background on getting to that point in your life.
Well, sure, Jim. This is Jamie. I'll jump in. You know, I feel like sometimes when we ask Forest Service folks that question, so many of us have a really, really similar answer. And my answer is, you know, grew up hiking and backpacking and playing in the woods with my parents and my family. And then that, of course, sparks that inherent love of the outdoors and wanting to be of service to the nation. And so in my case, decided I was going to go into recreation management of some sort and ended up going to the University of Idaho and focusing on recreation management. And from there, took a brief couple of tours with the Peace Corps in South and Central America. And then from there, I've been really fortunate. I started at a remote ranger district in North Idaho, working in trails. That's why I say fortunate. Working in trails and recreation, wild scenic rivers management, special uses, et cetera. But pretty early on in my career, I was actually able to really start a serious focus on trails. And then I've worked up in Alaska for several years in our Alaska region at both forest and regional office levels. And then more recently, for the past several years with our Washington office. And although I work for our Washington office and coordinate our National Trail Program, I'm actually one of our remotely stationed Washington office employees, and I currently am based out of the Idaho Panhandle National Forest, which is up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in North Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, very similar for me, Ms. Deb, you know, grew up camping with my parents, was a Girl Scout. In fact, on my 7th birthday cake, there were little statuettes of Smokey and his friends. So I guess that was a little bit prescient or something there. I love the outdoors. I didn't know exactly. I loved wildlife. And so my undergrad actually was from the University of Florida working with wildlife biology. And yet while I was going through the curriculum, I realized how much, people management and how much that's a part of really the conservation of our lands. And so I wound up going to Clemson and getting my master's in outdoor recreation. And because it just really, to me, that's, it's that merging of the conservation and the as we talked about earlier, bringing people to the forest and letting people experience these wonderful places and the wildlife as well. And I got my start with the state of Florida, managing, working in trails and then as a recreation planner, and then was excited to get on with the Forest Service as the Florida National Scenic Trail Program manager down there in Tallahassee, Florida. So spent the first part of my career with the National Forest in Florida down there working on the Florida National Scenic Trail, which was, as a native Floridian, that was sort of the backbone of where I grew up. And then was fortunate to come to Atlanta and have worked in wilderness and wild and scenic rivers, and being in the trails program now has been just, you know, it's when, I don't know, trail people are, and that includes the volunteers and the partners that we all have. And we're all so passionate, and it's just, it's addictive to be in the trail program because there's just so much to do. And yet when you get out on the trails and you get to enjoy the fruits of the labor and to recognize the beautiful lands that we are fortunate to steward, you just want to bring people out there and let them see that and experience them for themselves. So Atlanta's a little bit, I do see trees out my office, but I don't get out in the woods.
Well,
I don't get out in the woods as much as I would like, but.
Yeah.
But, I was going to ask if you guys got to get out any or stuck behind a desk most of the time. So I think you just answered that.
Yeah. But, you know, I still, my spare time, I'm in the woods, you know, and enjoying usually our public lands for sure.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
Well, Deb, did you study under Dr. Gene Wood?
I did not at the time, although, you know, I knew Gene for sure. I was over in the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Management. I get to go up and ride at Clemson quite a bit. So I enjoy the work that Gene's done there at the university and on the Clemson Experimental Force.
Interesting fellow, we can all say that. I was thinking, when we're talking about the fires that you have to deal with, I know that just to mention when you mentioned Coeur d'Alene and Idaho, that that one of the great fires in American history, modern history, was called the Great Burn in 1910. That came out of eastern Washington. I guess it came into Idaho. I know the book by Timothy Egan, bestsellers, worth reading. And but that kind of got the force. It was early on that fight. Let's come. We've been about halfway through our show here. Maybe we could, Jamie. When we were at the National Trail Symposium in Dayton, Ohio, the International Trail Symposium, which people from around the world come to talk about trails, biking trails, even water trails. Those are considered trails, and rivers and streams that you can float down a canoe, what have you. But you talked. We sort of shared a show or a presentation seminar where I went over the early part, as it was maybe on last month's show here. Could you tell us a little bit, maybe for the folks, just go through, and Deb also, what the National Trails Act means, what's in it, and what it means to the Forest Service and to the volunteers?
Sure, Jim, happy to. So, you know, just as kind of an overview, the National Forest System Trail Stewardship Act, of course, as you mentioned, it passed with bipartisan support out of the 114th Congress late in 2016, so just at the end of November in 2016. And, you know, it's we're excited about the act. I mean, we are. Like I mentioned, Deb and I are in a I don't know if I did mention, maybe this is before the show, but Deb and I happened to be in Nevada this week, actually, in a week-long meeting with Forest Service trail leaders from around the nation, and we're putting our heads together, sorting out how to most efficiently make the most out of the act and implementing the act, as well as a couple of other major initiatives or efforts that I want to talk about. But there is a noticeable energy and excitement in the agency about the act. The act is directing the Secretary of Agriculture to develop and put forth a strategy on how we're going to significantly increase the role of volunteers and partners in trail maintenance and for additional purposes as well that are related, you know, taking care of trail heads, for example, and recreation sites. And the act is based on, you know, just that recognition of the current condition of trails, our budget situation, and just recognizing that the tremendous value of trails to the American public. And so, you know, some of the findings of the act, you know, cited the large trail system that we're blessed to manage, pointed out that out of the 158,000 miles of trail that we have, only about 25% of those currently meet agency standards for safety and quality recreation. We've got a maintenance backlog on the trails of over 300 million. And so that's a lot. That deferred maintenance backlog on the trails is resulting in impacts, threatening access to public lands from trails that are eroding and falling apart, which in turn results in increased environmental damage. Sometimes we've got public safety situations, and all of that results in increased future maintenance costs. And so, you know, recognizing the federal budget limitations, there's not going to be a growing budget or money falling from the sky. The act points out that it's going to require solutions to these trail maintenance issues, and we're going to have to make more efficient use of the resources we have. And so the whole focus of the National Forest System Trail Stewardship Act is really asking the agency to take a look at what can we do to really increase the role of volunteers, partners, and outfitters and guides in increasing the amount of maintenance that we're getting done and taking care of our nation's trails, and developing a comprehensive strategy so that we can going forward be systematic in that approach. So the Trail System Act or Trail Stewardship Act, excuse me, has a handful of requirements. They're very substantive. The overarching requirement is develop this volunteer and partner trail management strategy that I was just talking about that will guide us into the future. A second overriding objective of the act, and it's really the predominant objective of the act, and these are the words, aim to double. So quotes around aim to double trail maintenance by volunteers and partners within 5 years. It's, the act isn't saying that we have to, and it's not saying, you know, double the numbers, double the hours, double the dollar value. We've got to sort that out. But the act is saying aim to double trail maintenance by partners and volunteers within 5 years. So that'd be by 2021. And then the act points out three other things, or directs us to do three other things. It asks us to explore and study the use of fire crews in trail maintenance, which, you know, within the agency, with our long fire history, of course, fire crews have long been involved in helping with trail maintenance, either directly out there maintaining trails or as part of their training and fitness exercises. But the act is asking us to take a systematic look at that and see, are there ways that we could be more strategic and more systematic in terms of incorporating the assistance of our fire crews and trail maintenance? Of course, not at all at the cost of their ability to respond and be available to their primary duty, which is wildfire suppression. The second major requirement of the act is for the agency to stand up a trail maintenance priority program, and basically to establish 9 to 15 trail maintenance priority areas across the nation. And with that, I just want to say that there's been an extensive amount of work that we've put into that, working with lots of local partners and communities who are very excited about standing up these trail maintenance priority areas. Our regional offices, we have 9 regions, submitting their prioritized proposals for priority areas. And then those have all been reviewed and prioritized at the national level. And the Forest Service shared a recommendation with the Department of Agriculture. And then once we got our new secretary, Sunny Perdue, on board, the secretary has made a selection of the 9 to 15 areas, and we're really excited that we're going to be able to make a public announcement on that here pretty quick. And then the last requirement of the National Forest System Trail Stewardship Act is to establish an outfitter and guide trail stewardship credit program. And the gist of that is that on at least 20 national forests, we're directed to establish a program where one or more of the outfitters who operate on that forest can, rather than paying their annual permit fee, because they pay a permit fee for operating on federal land, rather than paying that fee, they can instead do work in lieu of paying the fee. So they can choose to work to offset some or all of their annual fees by performing work, improving, constructing, or maintaining trails or trailheads or associated developed recreation sites that support public use. And so that's another area that we've been spending quite a bit of time on here recently, getting ready to corral up the recommended areas from our regions, and then to be able to make those selections here in the very near future. I think that's a recap. Yep.
Yeah, well, let me ask one on at the double the trail maintenance, which is a kind of takes your breath away a little bit on you know, the concept of it. But you mentioned, because I know Backcountry Horsemen, their main measurement is volunteer hours per year, per month, you know, and that's what's tracked. We also track trail miles, but is it, you haven't yet determined which would be that measurement, like going from 25% maintained trails to 50%, or you haven't picked that measurement yet, what that might be, hours or miles or whatever?
You know, we haven't, Jim, and I know that we'll be sharing ideas and vetting ideas with partners and volunteers as we do that. You know, my gut feeling is that we're going to be quantifying the accomplishments in a variety of ways, I think, because it'll paint a more holistic picture, you know. So volunteer hours, numbers of volunteers, miles maintained, the dollar value of the maintenance, I think we'll probably be looking at a combination.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds very good. I like that idea. Yes. Well, the you mentioned the timeline, like the 5 years. It's from the signing of the bill. You mentioned 2021. Is that
yep.
where we're at on that? The end of the year, that or it seems closer.
It's almost. Funny how that happens.
Yeah, like a term paper. Got to get it done here. Let's see. Yeah, okay. Well, that I understand. Do you see some challenges out there, or something like, geez, you know, we need to get this done, or we need more volunteers, or is there something, some challenges looming out there that you kind of see getting focused on, or is it all going to be easy?
Well, you know, there are challenges up, and there really are opportunities, and I mentioned this meeting that Deb and I are at with agency trail leaders this week. And the meeting is focused on three things that we're really excited about, and the Trail Stewardship Act is definitely one of them. I'm going to touch on the other two real quick, and give Debbie a chance to jump in as well. But in 2018, the timing is just is remarkable. In 2018, we're going to be commemorating across the federal family and with partners and volunteers and communities nationwide. We're going to be commemorating. And celebrating the 50th anniversary of the National Trail System Act and the 50th anniversary of the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, both landmark pieces of legislation. In the case of the National Trail System Act, that's the legislation that initiated our national system of national scenic trails, historic trails, and national recreation trails. So like the Florida National Scenic Trail, the Appalachian National Scenic Trail, and with that, we're just really looking to leverage, you know, awareness of that major anniversary to really try to look to the next 50 years and generate interest, appreciation, and enthusiasm to really engage an increased level of partnership, volunteerism, and communities in caring for trails. So there's the 50th anniversary. Then the second piece that we're really excited about is our new national trail strategy. So we completed a national trail strategy early in 2017, and we kind of have had a soft implementation over the last several months. And in 2018, we're going to be looking at a vibrant rollout and full implementation of the strategy that looks to really reframe how the Forest Service approaches trail management and trail maintenance over the next decade. And you know, in a nutshell, the shift is that we can't maintain trails and care for trails the way that we did in the past, where it was primarily the Forest Service's big trail crews, et cetera. But increasingly, we need to and we want to shift to a model of collaborative stewardship, where, you know, just a wide diversity of partners, volunteers, communities, public, private interests are all engaged in helping inform the trail system they want. You know, what makes sense, what meets the needs of users now and into the future, and then with this, you know, multiple, you know, complex of partners, volunteers, agency folks, caring for the system. So that's our second piece. And Deb and I could go on for literally days about the new national national trail strategy, and there will be a lot more coming on that in the future. And then the National Forest System Trail Stewardship Act just aligns directly with our new national trail strategy. They just complement each other beautifully. And so, you know, with the capacity issues that we talked about in the agency, we have a lot less folks available to implement a lot of this work. There's been a little bit of lift. I'm trying to make sure that we clearly understand the act, getting our instructional materials together around that, and getting training folks within the agency and partners and volunteers. But I think we're increasingly turning the corner as we're really visibly implementing the act here, visibly beginning it just in the coming weeks and months or two as we get our priority areas announced, our outfitter and guide offset credit areas announced, and really work agency-wide to implement the trail strategy and the act with an emphasis on, you know, a major increase in collaborative stewardship.
We want to take a real quick break, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about what the public and the volunteers can do to help with the implementation of the act. And we'll be back, and stay with us as we discuss what you can do to become involved in this on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
I was down the arroyo gathering strays. You know, cowboys and cattle don't get holidays. And I should have been finished, except for one little guy who kept leading me farther away. He ran up on a mesa, across a ravine, past the Indian ruins and a muddy red stream. And I stopped for a spell, 'cause I was bone tired, and I guess that I started to dream. I saw three painted horses and three dark-skinned men, a mask made of clay with voices like wind, singing, we seek the soul of all that is good. We come bearing corn, water and wood. Stop and behold all that is good. Give thanks for the corn, water and wood. Now I'm an old trail hound, and I've always believed that your boots and your saddle are all that you need. No miracles happen and no angels appear, but I swear three men were standing there. I shook myself over, had I been asleep? It's just three Pueblo children tending their sheep. And they yelled, Merry Christmas, as they brought me my stray, and their voices rang through the mesquite, singing, we seek the soul of all that is good. We come bearing corn, water and wood. Stop and behold all that is good. Give thanks for the corn, water and wood. We seek the soul,
we seek the soul
of all that is good.
All that is
we come
good.
Bearing corn,
come bearing corn,
water and
water
wood.
And
stop
wood.
And behold,
stop and behold
all that is good. Give thanks for the corn,
thanks for the corn,
thanks for the corn, water and wood.
Riders in the sky, corn, water, and wood. And so what can we do? What can the public, what can volunteers do to help implement this act?
Well, this is Debbie. I'll sort of step up and talk just a little bit about it. You know, I think thinking to the benefits of a well-managed trail program and what your listeners and what our trail users enjoy about being out on a trail, you know, what we're trying to provide, and that is, you know, we're trying to provide that experience. We're trying to, you know, meet or exceed people's expectations so that they have those memories, you know, and they have those wonderful experiences out there. I mean, we really are in that memory business and the experience business. And so thinking about that and what we were just talking about, you know, engaging more people in helping us to be stewards of these trails, you know, the goal is, for our agency, it is to sort of better organize where we can help facilitate, you know, organizations like Backcountry Horsemen that are so important in recruiting and bringing volunteers, you know, to the forest to help out with the trail management. you know, it was interesting when we were looking for priority areas, and I talked to some of our backcountry horsemen clubs in the region, in the southern region, you know, we all sort of kind of went, oh, double? You know, you've got clubs out there that are working so hard, and to talk to them about how are they going to, you know, how can we double what they do, you know, we all kind of, you know, we were all kind of taking a step back going, okay, how do we do this? You know, we just need to bring others in and really work together and interface with other organizations. We've got public land corps out there that are recruiting and bringing youth and veterans to work and bringing them to the forest. And a lot of times we're bringing them into work with our clubs and other organizations, and the synergy and the enthusiasm that builds. You know, the agency works hand in hand with our trail groups in terms of the conditions on our trails so that we can identify those projects that are really meaningful, so that when we have our volunteers, I mean, there's nothing like going out and working and seeing a change that you made. But on that point, to make a point that we have all kinds of volunteers opportunities. You know, if you're a plant person, you know, being able to help us identify invasive species along our trails. You know, it's not all about digging in the dirt and having to be really physical. Just people that can help be our eyes and ears and look for changes on our trails. And certainly, you know, it runs the full gamut from people that become certified to operate chainsaws and crosscuts and really help us clear the trails, and are you know, really important to, you know, particularly after storms. I mean, here in the southern region, we've just been hit by, you know, several big hurricanes, you know, having volunteers be able to come in and help us get those trails assessed and cleared and reopened for the public. But as I said, there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer. You know, there are people that are really good with maps and computers and really good with sharing information with the public and making sure that they get, you know, quality information and they know what to look for and that type of thing. So, you know, we really are trying to change the face of volunteering and really reach out to as many people as we can to get them engaged, to build those relationships, and to help build capacity. Backcountry horsemen and the work that they do with the training and the user ethics, helping to teach user ethics so that people know what to expect and how to enjoy and be safe out there. I mean, that's all part of it, and so you know, I think it's going to be interesting for us all to work together to really figure out how do we start to really reach out and bring more people in and help them become owners and have ownership in the trails and understand the work that really goes into having a really quality trail out there, and so that they can enjoy it.
You know, and I'll just add, with the National Trail System Stewardship Act and the goal to really substantially increase the role of partners and volunteers, I have heard some folks say, well, that isn't that asking us to do more with less? But it's not. It's actually asking us to do more with more, to really change the way that we go about this. And there's just a wealth of energy, expertise, and resources outside of the agency. And through that broad network, we can really leverage an increased capacity to take care of trails. And Deb touched on, you know, assistance from youth and veteran groups. A beautiful outcome of these efforts, in addition to what's happening on the ground, is fostering and generating citizen stewards, people who love and care for the land and are going to do that into the future. And I did want to just mention a really great success story from last year, from 2017, sparked by the emphasis that the National Trail System Stewardship Act is placing on trails and our new national trail strategy. We initiated a grant program last year, and it's called the National Forest System Trail Stewardship Grant Program. And basically, we were able to carve out some seed funding, and it was $250,000 last year, and with in collaboration with a group of nonprofit trail organizations, including Backcountry Horsemen, the National Wilderness Stewardship Alliance, International Mountain Bike Association, Blue Ribbon Coalition, American Motorcycle Association, and American Hiking Society. That group served as kind of an oversight board, and were able to help solicit grant proposals for trail maintenance from around the nation. I think we received just shy of 100 proposals. That amount of money wouldn't go that far, but that group helped us look at and select over 20, I think it was like 27 projects that were selected. And so think about this, it was really exciting. So the seed funding of $250,000 brought in on 27 projects, over 440,000 in cash match contribution, and another 750,000 in in-kind match. So that's donated labor, materials, equipment. And last year in 2017, through these various projects all around the country, they completed over 2,000 miles of trail maintenance. And that was just in the first year of this. And what was happening with those grants, it's like Deb was alluding to, it was innovation upon innovation and leveraging upon leveraging. So a group would get a little bit of seed funding, and then they'd use that to have spark a complimentary fundraiser, and they'd bring in private sector donations as well. And so what we're really inviting, and how people can really help, is just to think outside the box, put on creative thinking hats. We're looking for, you know, innovative solutions, and we're super excited about 2018 and what that's going to bring for trails.
Wow. Well, that is great. That is absolutely great. Well, you ladies have provided us with more information than we could absorb almost, but we'll try. We will try. And you have been great guests. We'll have to have you back again and find out how we're progressing with the National Trails System Program. And Jim, anything that you'd like to leave us with today? Tell these ladies, thank you.
One thought with the Forest Service and Deb and Jamie and the whole group is that when 2013, when we started kind of putting this idea together and maybe be a bill in Congress with the Wilderness Society and International Mountain Biking and American Hiking Society and all those groups, the Forest Service in Washington started having like three meetings a year with trail users and National Forest users on just different topics. We meet for the whole day in Washington with the Chief Tidwell and Joe Mead, head of Recreation Trails. And so in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so we're developing something, this bill, and we know the Forest Service doesn't have any spare time. Their people don't have any spare time. But we're going to go up and ask, well, in your spare time, could you maybe put this bill into action? You know, but everybody was so positive on supplying us whatever information we needed. I mean, they can't lobby for the bill or anything, you know, the neutral and that kind of thing. But across the country, all the people, all the Forest Service folks just said, oh, yeah, we can do this and help with this and think about that. And so it was really a positive experience, and I'm glad to hear that after it was passed, and Jamie and Deb said it still is a positive idea. So thank you, guys.
Well,
you.
That is great. Well, you have all been great guests today on the show. We appreciate very much Jamie Schmidt and Debbie Caffin, and always Jim McGarvey joining us. You can find more about Backcountry Horsemen at bcha.org. And what is your website, ladies?
www.fs, like Forest Service, .fed, like federal, .us. So www.fs.fed.us.
Okay. All right. So be sure and check both of those websites out. Get involved and help keep these trails open. And we look forward to having you all back again with us on Saddle Up America. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, it has been a good show today. We've had with us Twin Kennedy to start the hour out. And then in the second hour of the show, we've had Jim McGarvey and Jamie Schmidt and Deb Caffin with Backcountry Horsemen of America and with the National Forest Service. We remind you, as always, to join us for Campfire Cafe beginning at noon on Thursdays, followed by Saddle Up America at 1 o'clock. And as always, we remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net. Now we'll close the show out today with Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It won't be long, and this is one from Mr. Gene Autry. Thanks for listening.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're away. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Little tin horns and little toy drums, Rudy toot toots and rummy tum tums.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
And curly head dolls that toddle and coo, elephant boats and kitty cars too.
Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boy land will have a
they're gonna build a toyland town all around the Christmas tree. So you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming, Santa Claus is coming, Santa Claus is coming to town.